This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. And we come to the end of chapter 9 of the book of Acts. Last week we looked at Paul and his conversion and how God immediately took him into sharing the gospel and preaching the truth and telling others about the fact that Christ was Messiah immediately. Well, while this was going on in Damascus, and then later on we see that he did go to Jerusalem and meet with Peter and John, there were other things going on. We saw earlier that Philip had gone down to Gaza, and as first he'd been up to Samaria, the city of Samaria, to preach there. Then God, the Spirit of God took him down to Gaza. He preached there and spoke to the Ethiopian. And now we see that Peter is going to go over towards Joppa. And I was going to put up the map, and I didn't put it up tonight so I could show you. But Joppa is about 30 miles just west and a little bit south of Jerusalem. And Peter was going to go over there. We're going to see a couple other cities in the text this evening. One is, in the text they refer to it as Lydda, but it's the same city as Lod. And that is on the way to Joppa from Jerusalem. You would find this city. And then it also makes reference to a region in the area, that is the region of Saron, and that is, if you would go to where Mount Carmel would be, today in the modern city of Haifa, and go down from there to Joppa, that whole plain that's along the coast there is this region. And this is where Peter is going to have an impact on the gospel. And so we see that the disciples, even though the apostles, it says, stayed in Jerusalem, they also went out and preached as well. And so we're going to look at this evening what happens with Peter as Peter begins to take the gospel to other areas besides Jerusalem. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt in Lydda. And that would be the same city as Lod. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Rise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. And there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And she gave him, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us. And Lord, I begin to help us to understand the importance of sharing with others the truth of God's Word and the impact that you can have in reaching people through the power of your Spirit, but we need to proclaim the truth of who you are. Speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the amazing things is God's going to be working in the life of Peter to help him to see that the Apostle Paul may have been called to be the Apostle to the Gentiles, but Peter was also going to be shown that all were to be preached to, including the Gentiles. And we're going to be seeing next week in chapter 10 where he actually goes and has some Gentiles come. But he begins to go out, and God begins to take him through a series of events where he begins to show Peter it's not the law that saves you, but it's the power of Christ that saves you. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we're to walk and live. Now, as I mentioned, he goes from Jerusalem to the city, as we see here, the city that is called Lydda, or Lydda, whoever you would pronounce it. And this particular city, which is also known as Lod, there was a man who had been in bed, or he had been unable to get around for 8 years. He had been ill with palsy. And Peter came, and the Lord directed him to go to that man and to heal him. And as Peter goes and heals him, an amazing thing happens. We see that it says here, and there he found a certain man by the name of Aeneas, and had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And I want you to see the response of Peter healing this man. The word got out very quickly. And not only in Lydda, but also throughout the region of Saron. And it says, and all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. There was a tremendous revival that occurred as they saw the power of God to heal people, but not only to heal people physically, but to heal people spiritually. And we see that people turned to Christ. Now, one of the things in this month's Voice of the Martyrs book, it talks about a man that I just wanted to share a little bit about, because something very similar happened in his life, and also God used him in a very similar way to Peter in reaching a group of people that had no knowledge of Christ or very little knowledge of Christ. This man's name, and I find it here, so I was Bounceon, B-O-U-N-S-A-E-N, Bounceon, and he was Laotian, and he lived in Laos. As a young man, he had been a witch doctor, and the people in Laos, the majority of them, worship, are involved in ancestor worship, and it's very occultic in its nature. And you would go to the witch doctor if you were sick. You go to the witch doctor if you wanted curses put on people. You go to the witch doctor if you wanted to have a good crop. You go to him if it wanted rain. He was the main go-to person in these villages. And this man, when he was 20 years old, had become a witch doctor. He thought that would be a good profession to go into. And he was doing that. And all of a sudden, one day, he became sick. And he wasn't getting better. And he found out about the Lord. And how he really came to know Christ is he later on found a young woman who was a Christian. And there was one village in the region where he was at that was a Christian village. And he was still involved in his old area of being a witch doctor. And he found this young woman, and he decided he wanted to marry her. And so in order to impress her, he thought, I better act like I'm a Christian. And so he went and got a Bible, and he began to read the Bible, and he began to go with her to church. But the more he read the Bible, the more God convicted him and showed him the truth. And pretty soon, he accepted the Lord as his Savior, and he became a believer. And later on, there were some of the people in that area that had become sick, and they had been going to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor couldn't do anything for them. And he began to pray for them and ask God to heal them, and God healed them. And people began to listen to his message, not only about how God had healed them physically, but how that God could change them spiritually. Today, this man's 101 years old, and he was 20 years old when he came to know Christ and left the lifestyle of being a witch doctor. Since that time, he's experienced a lot of things in his walk with the Lord, but he's also seen God do some powerful things. He's gone through having to live through a communist regime where the Christians in Laos were persecuted severely for their faith. And he was, the pastor of the church that he was attending was actually arrested by the communists, taken out and questioned, beaten, and then killed, shot, and left in the jungle. And the church was without a pastor. This man, who was fairly young yet, everyone else was afraid to take leadership in the church after that had happened. He went back and began to take leadership in the church and preach. And over the years, he also was persecuted for his faith by the government. He was thrown in jail on three different occasions. The first occasion, he was kept in jail for 3 months. He was beaten and questioned, and they attempted to get him to renounce his faith, which he wouldn't do. And then later on, after the third time when he was put in prison, they let him go and they began to leave him alone. But what he did is he kept preaching the gospel, and people were getting saved. And today, at 81 years old, the church that he was the pastor of, basically about 60 years ago, has 500 members. It's the largest church in Laos. And the people that go to church there are true believers. And he still preaches once in a great while, but also leads the service every Sunday in prayer, and is very helpful in teaching the gospel. But the reason I wanted to share about him is that it's a very similar situation to Peter, where God used the healing of individuals to draw them to Christ. You see that Peter, when he healed this man, not only were the people in the town impacted, but the whole people in the region were impacted with the power of God, and that God was real. And they begin to listen to Peter. And so Peter preached the gospel. He had a great impact throughout the region. And then it goes on and it says not only there, but it says, and there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. Now, if you went to Joppa today is right next to Tel Aviv. As a matter of fact, the south side of Tel Aviv runs into Joppa, into the old city of Joppa. And when we were in Israel, and we're staying in a motel in Tel Aviv along the coast, where you could walk over to the old city of Joppa along the coast. Joppa was a city that was one of the main seaports at the time of Peter, the other being Caesarea, about 30 miles north of Joppa. And Peter went over to Joppa when he heard about Tabitha. Why? Because these people knew that as they heard that Peter had healed this man and that that people were getting saved, they knew that he was over in the city Lydda or Lod. And he went from there, which is about 30 miles over, or not even 30 miles, over to Joppa, as they brought him, because this lady Tabitha, or her other name in Greek was Dorcas, had passed away. And they were grieving greatly because she had been a strong believer, had been greatly influential in their community. She cared for people. She made garments, as we see here, to meet people's needs and to help them physically. And they were greatly saddened by her death, and they desired that Peter come over. And it says here, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, in verse 37, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would come and not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas, which was her Greek name, made while she was with them. And Peter said to them all forth, and he put them all forth, and he kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And when she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And so God gave, healed, not only raised her from the dead, but allowed her to once again be involved in that Christian community, and to she showed his power over death, and that Peter had been given the opportunity to raise her from the dead. Now, an interesting thing occurs, and it says that many people within the city of Joppa responded to the Lord. And it's almost, as you look at the other verses that dealt with the man that he healed in Lydda, we see that it says the whole region was impacted, and he raises a lady from the dead, and it says that people with some people within the city accepted Christ because he had raised her from the dead. And it's almost like the impact of the healing had that a greater impact on people than him raising this lady from the dead. But we see that God has power over illness. He has power over death. He has power over those things that would men and women would fear. And he used them so that the gospel could go forth. Now, I want us to take a couple other notes, and that is in the last verse, it makes an interesting statement. So all of this has been going on. Peter's been having this ministry in this region, in these cities, sharing the gospel, being used of God to heal and to raise people from the dead. And it says then, and there was a certain man, in verse 43, and it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now, a lot of times you can overlook certain things in Scripture that are really significant. This is one of them. You're probably going, well, what's the big deal about Simon a tanner? Well, first of all, if you're an Orthodox Jew, you wouldn't stay with somebody who's a tanner. Why? Well, what happens when you touch dead things and you're an Orthodox Jew? You become unclean, right? If you go back and look at the law, if you touched anything dead, you had to go through a cleansing process. And a tanner, what is the job of a tanner? A tanner skins animals. He takes their skins and he takes the skin and he forms the leather from that skin into shoes, or at this time sandals, and garments and other things that would be used by people. So Simon the tanner would constantly be touching dead things. That was his job, was to deal with dead animals and to use their skin. Yet, it says Peter stayed with him, and it wasn't just one night, it was many days is the implication here. And this is, I believe, the first step that Peter's taking in understanding that what God says is clean is what is clean. And later on in the next chapter, we're going to see that he's going to deal with the whole issue of kosher food. But it's really dealing with something, a greater principle. And that greater principle is that the gospel is for everyone. It's not just for the Jewish people, but it's for the whole world. Now, there's an interesting statement as you look at chapter 10, and we're not going to look at the whole chapter, but I want us just to look at the first verse because there's a point I want to make. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, the Italian Band would be a Roman band, but it's a Roman band that comes of soldiers that whose stations and headquarters is originally Rome, and they had been sent to Israel, and they are stationed at Caesarea in north of Joppa, about 30 miles, and this man is Italian. We saw that when Philip had gone down to Gaza, he had preached the gospel and shared the gospel with an Ethiopian. We had studied the last couple weeks about the Apostle Paul, who was an Orthodox Jew. So you have an Italian, an Ethiopian, and an Orthodox Jew. What is the symbolism of this? Why would God have put these three different groups of people, these three individuals, who come from three totally different groups of people, and use them as the examples which he shares with us in the first portion of the book of Acts? Well, if you go back all the way to the book of Genesis, you understand that Noah had what? Three sons. Now, one son was Ham, one son was Japheth, and one son was Shem. If you notice the descendants of Ham, the Ethiopian would, in all likelihood, have been a descendant of Ham. The descendants of Ham, if you look at go back in Genesis and again look at the different nations and where they settled, you see that the descendants of Ham settled in Africa and in the around in Egypt and in the land of Canaan, which later on the Israelites took over, and that was where they mainly descended. Then who was Japheth? Well, Japheth was another son of Noah, and we see that the descendants of Japheth, if you look at where they went to, they went to what would be Europe and the Greece and in that area of the Middle East, but it would be going in there into Russia and Europe. That is the descendants of Japheth. And if you look at who are the descendants of Shem, the descendants of Shem would be the Shemites, and one group of the Shemites would be the Jewish people. They were the descendants of Shem. So we see the three people that were preached the gospel to were descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And really what the God is revealing to us, one of the things that it's a small thing, but it's a very big thing. And that is that the gospel is for everyone. It's not just for a certain group of people, but it's for all the people in the world to hear. And we're going to see that throughout, as we go through the book of Acts, you're going to see that constantly, it doesn't matter who you are, what your religion is, what your descendancy is, where you're from, the gospel is preached that you can understand the truth and you can be set free from false religion. You can come into a personal relationship with Christ and your sins can be forgiven. Now, what did Shem, Ham, and Japheth have in common besides being the sons of Noah? They're all descendants of Adam. And they're being all descendants of Adam, they all had a sin problem. And they all needed to be saved, just as all their descendants need to be saved. And so we need to understand that the gospel is for everyone. And so we see that it's revealed to us there, and it's also being revealed to Peter, that the gospel is for everyone. And that he's not to be held and bound by the law that would prevent him from going out and preaching to whoever God would bring into his presence, but rather he's to go and share with whomever God allows him to share with. And so we see that he stays with Simon the Tanner, And this would have been something that would an Orthodox Jew would not have done, but Peter did. And we see that God also used Peter powerfully through the healing of this man and through the raising of Tabitha from the dead to reach the gospel into a region where there weren't only Jews, but there were also, as we saw in the beginning of verse 10, Italians stationed up and in Caesarea, and they had heard about Peter, they'd heard about these events, and as we're going to see next week, Cornelius, this Italian centurion, wants to know more. And so we're going to see the importance of always being prepared and ready to share the gospel with others. Let's just close in prayer this evening. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand these things. Help us to see that you will use us to touch lives. And Father, that even in our world today, there are many times where in lands where, like that Peter was going into, and like this man in Laos was in, that Father, you will use your ability to heal to show your power over the false gods of this world, and Father, that people would come to trust in you and to look for you not only for physical healing, but spiritual healing as well. And Lord, may we realize that we're to take the gospel to everyone. And Father, we're to seek to be used by you to be prepared. And Father, wherever you would bring us, help us to be able to share with others the truth of your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn